We bring on Derek Ponamski of 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Derek, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Derek, let's talk about this Arkansas-LSU basketball game tonight there at the PMAC in Baton Rouge. LSU on a nice got a nice win over Alabama this past Saturday. Talk about the job that Johnny Jones has been able to do down there.
Well, it's been nothing short of spectacular. You look at a win tonight will be better than it would be a better record than the Tigers had last year, where Trent Johnson had Justin Hamilton, who was a first-team All-SEC center that left early for the NBA draft. And this is not a very deep nor talented team. And to think that Johnny Jones has them 7-7 in the in conference, that's nothing short of spectacular right now. So what you're looking at from the LSU perspective is that there's a little bit of a buzz. Johnny O'Brien's been playing at a very high level. And Anthony Hickey's the lone guy in the conference that's in the top five in assists and steals. So they've found a way with kind of some unorthodox things, running some presses, doing some things that you would never have, Trent Johnson would have never considered doing, and really shaking things up. You know, it's when Johnny Jones got the job, I guess it'd be similar to what you guys experienced when Anderson came back, a guy who's got ties to the best period of LSU basketball when Dale Brown was the coach here and Johnny Jones, who was his lead assistant. Times have gotten really tough. And so for LSU to bring back a guy like Johnny Jones, a guy that's been known as a dynamic recruiter, it was easy to sell him to the fan base, but it was expected that this year was going to be a down year. So to see production on the court, that's certainly something that's excited this fan base.
Derek, when you look at this team and you say they're not very talented, you know, Johnny O'Brien III, like you said, is he in better shape this year? Is that why, or is he just kind of maturing? How is he able to play at this high of level?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think the first thing is that there's a little bit of a mental maturity that has gone on there. And physically, like you said, he's in better shape. They knew that they were going to run. They knew that they were going to put some of these presses and other things to get speed up the tempo a little bit into the game plan. So they worked very hard on conditioning. That's not something that the last couple of years with Trent Johnson they did. He is in much better condition. And I think that when you watch LSU play, they've had a number of games that they've won late in ball games. And for a team that goes about eight deep, to win in the 38th, 39th, and 40th, you know, and even in the Alabama game into the third overtime, that certainly says an awful lot about the condition that these guys are in.
Derek, looking at the schedule this year, obviously LSU got some breaks. Did they take advantage of them? Still yet to be determined. You're playing Texas A&M twice, South Carolina twice, Mississippi State twice. But let's go back to February the 2nd at Mississippi State. They're a horrible basketball team. How did LSU only win that game by 1 point?
Johnny O'Brien got into foul trouble, and it was at a point in time right after the Mardi Gras break where a couple of those guys, that they decided that they wanted to spend a little bit of time doing things that would not be necessarily the most indicative of them getting in the best shape. One other thing I'll point out in terms of getting breaks, they also get Missouri twice, which one of them they won. They still have them left on the schedule, so you're right. It's an odd scenario, more so than a close win over Mississippi State. The one that I'll point out as the biggest head scratcher is the home loss in overtime to South Carolina.
Yeah, and I see that there, 82-73, and then you go to South Carolina and LSU is able to beat them 64-46. But let's get aside from that. Let's look at what happened good for them Saturday against Alabama at home, a 3-overtime victory, 97-94. You would have to think after bouncing back after a road loss at Tennessee that has to give them confidence going into this game tonight with Arkansas.
Yeah, I would think so. This has been a pretty grounded ball club this year. They kind of understand where the peaks and the valleys are going to be. It's funny, for the most part, say for the one or two we just mentioned, every game they're supposed to win, they win. Every game they're supposed to lose, they lose. So it's been pretty much as expected. I would think that there'll be a little bit of confidence tonight. I would also expect there's going to be a really nice crowd at the PMAC. So as you well know, when people do support basketball in Baton Rouge, that the PMAC can be a pretty nice environment.
When teams have played Arkansas this year, it seems like their opponent shoots at least 10 more free throws than Arkansas does. And I'm looking here at some of LSU's free throw shooters that with their most attempts, and you got a 62%, 69, 68 as your top three guys. Is that concern? Do you think that concerns LSU that if they do get to the free throw line, they're not actually getting their points there?
There's no question. It's been an Achilles heel for them the entire year. And the other thing that you said, they're not getting their points there. The other thing is that what you've seen in some of these losses is that when they're getting to the foul line, it's because they're attacking the rim. If they get behind the guys that have attacked the rim, Carmouche, Hickey, those guys are going to start being jump shooters. If you're an opposing team and you see those guys taking jump shots, you got to be really happy, because not only is that because you've got a lead, but those guys are not going to get to the free throw line shooting jump shots.
Well, and you're right. And another thing is we've been getting out rebounded. And, you know, if you're shooting and you got some big studs down there that can rebound, you're going to get easy putbacks.
Yeah, and that's been something that LSU's been able to do fairly well. Since Johnny O'Brien's come back from here, he had a high ankle sprain at the beginning of the conference play, missed a couple of games, and then got himself back into shape. Since he's rammed it into shape, he's been a force down there. Certainly, that's something that from the LSU side they want to take advantage of. The other thing I'll point out is that if they catch it in the wrong rotation, LSU's not very deep up front. There's going to be Siobhan Coleman or Jalen Courtney up there, you know, trying to guard a post player, and those guys are about 6'4", 6'5". That's a definite advantage if you're able to find the right post guy and get him matched up against someone other than Johnny O'Brien.
Derek Ponamski of ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge joins us here on Overtime. Derek, if Arkansas can get this game up and down the court, do you think it favors the Razorbacks?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, LSU's had success in up-tempo games because they've been able to utilize Hickey and some of the, you know, if Arkansas is pushing the tempo, that doesn't necessarily hurt LSU. What's gonna hurt LSU in that is if LSU can, you know, is in foul trouble for Hickey or O'Brien, you take those guys off the court. Those guys can do a lot of things in a number of different ways. More so than anything, it's the fact that if those guys do get exhausted and pick up a foul because of exhaustion, that's where the tempo hurts them. LSU can play with them in terms of scoring that way. It's just the fact that if there's some exhaustion and they pick up a cheap foul, that definitely benefits Arkansas.
Derek, rank in order for me the importance of these sports to the LSU fan base. Football, baseball, basketball, track and field, and let's throw in, well, let's just do those four.
Football is one. Spring football is two. Recruiting is three. Baseball would be four. All forms of basketball would be five. And then the softball team, which went to the College World Series last year and is coming back from a trip out west where they won four games and Rachel Fico threw a no-hitter, that would be six. Track and field, which has about 30 national championships in the last 20 years, I'd put them a distant seven. If Lolo Jones is running in the Olympics, people care more about that than they do when they have a meet over on campus.
And that's 30 women's track and field championships, right?
I think the men have like one or two.
Okay.
Yeah, I always thought LSU's women track team was
pretty dominant
up there. Yeah.
Yeah. When Pat Henry left, they were in the high teens and close to 20, and then he's been gone about 6 years, and they've won a number more.
And you're talking a little bit about some football, and you're saying that. What do they think about Les Miles, and did he kind of use his relationship with Jeff Long, or what was the story on that about how he got that raise?
Well, he got the raise because the raise was on his desk before before the Arkansas thing came out, and you know what we found in the last couple of months is that when the LSU side found out about the Arkansas offer, they're the ones that kind of pushed the deal on that. They it was kind of a you know, take it or leave it for less, and so I think that you know, he decided that he was going to take it. And as far as what the LSU fan base thinks about Les, it's the weirdest thing. If he would have followed anybody but Nick Saban, they'd have his face on 1,000 buildings around here. But he drew the unlucky task of being the guy who wins 83% of his games and followed the guy who won one national championship here. So it's the oddest thing. Yeah, everybody says, well, he can't beat Saban. And right now, who else is beating Nick Saban?
Right,
so,
yeah.
That's true.
And you know, and history tells us that the LSU fan base, they're prone to eating their own. Charlie McClendon won 76% of his games, and they fired him because he couldn't beat Bear Bryant. And if you remember, nobody else was beating Bear Bryant either. So history's kind of repeating itself in Baton Rouge.
Hey, Derek, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, guys.